turn in your Bibles. I'm going to just continue to, I believe, impart into your life something that God has imparted to me, and turn to Galatians chapter 2. And God's put this message on my heart. I don't really know quite how it's going to work out, but we'll just start and see where we go. I was actually having a day off on Friday and sitting on my couch reading the Bible, reading the Word of God, and I don't have a day off from God, because he's my life. And surprisingly, God really, because normally I just take it as what I call a breathe day, a day where I take in. And actually I was taking in, but I didn't realize it would be for today. Normally it's just for me. My day off is usually just to be restored personally. But I was restored personally, and I was inspired by what I read in such a way that I believe the Lord wants me to give it to you, what I've received. And so in Galatians chapter 2, we're going to read it from the Amplified version, because that's the version I was reading on Friday. It says, "For he," that's God, "who motivated and fitted Peter and worked effectively through him for the mission to the circumcised, motivated and fitted me and worked through me for the mission to the Gentiles." This is Paul writing this, and he is saying something here that I believe God wants to say to all of us. That God himself is our motivation. A lot of people try and motivate themselves, but Paul actually says that Peter was motivated by God. He was shaped or fitted, whatever God called him to, he was fitted for. In other words, designed for. And you have been designed by God for a particular purpose. So God motivated, fitted, and worked effectively through. And I love this because Peter is very much a partner with God in this. But it is God who is motivating Peter and Paul for their life and work. And when you become a Christian, God himself puts his spirit in you. You have God within. You become a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. And God himself then becomes the motivating force of your life. And Paul, whenever you read about his testimony, he writes in Galatians, he writes in the book of Acts many times, he speaks about what he used to be before he became a Christian. And if you think about your life before you became a Christian, there were a lot of things probably you were motivated to do. And most of them involved making sure that you were okay and getting everything right that suited you. And I would imagine most of your dreams involved you being rich, you having the relationships you wanted, and if it didn't suit you, I mean, this was a bit like me before I got saved. If it wasn't working, I'd see if I could find somebody else. And was I the only one like that? Because I was a sinner before I got saved, and I didn't have a God motivation in my life. I had a sin motivation. I had a desire to please myself. And we cannot have godly desires without God in us. Isn't that freeing? That we can't be motivated for God unless we invite Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, and we invite him into our heart to forgive us all our sins. And then God inside starts to move us to want what he wants, to do the things he designed us to. And so Paul, and this is what struck me while I'm having a day off, I nearly got off the sofa, because I thought, Lord, thank you that I'm not a self-motivator, but God himself, you are my motivation, and that you work effectively in me to work through me. That I'm fitted for certain things. Because every single one of us has a plan that God has before we were born designed you for. And it's not what you used to be doing when you were a sinner. It's a whole new world to become a believer. Amen. And so to be motivated, this is the word that God really wants to impart to each one of us. To cultivate a God motivation. God himself is your motivation, and God himself wants to be. But to cultivate that dynamic of motivation. Now, I like to know what the definition is of that word, because I think I know until I look it up in the dictionary. And motivation means to have a desire, a God desire, to have a willingness, an enthusiasm. Say enthusiasm. God wants his people enthusiastic. Not dragging their heels. He wants his people with a desire, holy desires, holy purposes, a passion to see what God has put inside you happen. A reason, another kind of definition is that you have a reason to do something. So motivation works from the inside out. God works in us and then he works it through us. Now, motivation works in every area of life. In my, where I live at home, I desire, using this, I'm quite enthusiastic at times, although it comes and goes, to clean my house. I have a motivation. Why? Because to be dirty and messy actually doesn't motivate me. I am more motivated to clean up the mess because I want a clean space and order. So I have a motivation to clean. It might not be my favorite job on earth, but because I hate living in a mess, hello, because God's a God of order, not of chaos, not of mess. Actually, within you is a spirit of excellence. You don't like mess. I don't think we're going to go to heaven and say, this is a big mess. And as it is in heaven, let it be. And so I have a motivation to get the Hoover out. To run around the bathroom and make sure there ain't no germs down that plug hole. I'm also motivated to clean my teeth. Because I've seen a few programs recently that make you want to go, ooh, because the rottenness of some people's teeth mean that they never had a vision, they never were motivated to clean their teeth because they never saw beyond the moment. And actually, when you get a bit older, you get a bit wiser, you start to look after things a whole lot better than you used to, because, you know, there's a danger. Something awful could be happening and you don't want it to happen to you. And so I'm motivated to have good dental hygiene. That was too heartfelt, wasn't it? Praise God. And I trust you're motivated to have good dental hygiene. If you ever want to be close to anyone, I recommend it. Dental floss is a fantastic I'm going off track. But we need to be motivated for every area of life. We need to be motivated to get out of bed in the morning. Don't we? And there is a time sometimes in our lives where we find it difficult to be motivated. I don't know if you've ever found it difficult to be motivated. Sometimes I look at my hedge in my garden and it's quite a big job for me to do. And I look at it and I kind of lose motivation. But the more it grows, the more I know I better get on with it. And so we can't lose our motivation. We can actually lose our motivation in God. And I think that's really important to know. Whilst God has put his spirit within us, you and I can start to not be motivated, to not desire the things that God wants. We can start to kind of back off in our prayer life. We can start to kind of not be as devoted to the things that God says we should be devoted to. As a believer, meeting together with other believers, making sure that we are serving God in some way, that we know that He wants us to minister to others. And so we can lose our motivation. But Paul says, God put in me my get up and go. God gave me the va-va-voom to serve Him. God put in me the gusto, the sparkle, and the drive. Looks like some of you might need a bit of gusto this morning, a bit of sparkle, a little bit of enthusiasm. And it's really important, this message, because I believe the enemy does whatever he can to get us discouraged, lose heart, frustrated, and begin to lose a bit of motivation. We go along to things, but we're not totally as enthusiastic as we used to be. I want to be enthusiastic in my worship of God. From the day I was born again, I was enthusiastic. You could not hold me back, and you still can't. That's the point. I've known people start enthusiastic, but actually they can't be bothered to give Him an extravagant offering of praise, to shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph, to lift up their hands and clap and dance. And it's a warning sign that your spiritual life is going downhill when you lose your motivation, when you start to be less enthusiastic about God than you used to be. Is this a good message? And God wants to restore enthusiasm this morning. He wants to do something new in our hearts so that motivation is restored in our lives, that we're living for God and we're excited about God and we're excited about what He's doing and we're excited about His call on our lives and we're excited about what He's going to do through the church and through our witness in this region. We're excited about Jesus. Not popping along to church. I've got faith group this week. Oh, I've got to go to the prayer meeting. Well, if I don't go, they look at me a bit funny. It's motivation. And Paul was saying, sometimes we need discipline to help with motivation. Some of you parents would know that. Some of your kids aren't motivated at 13 to tidy their rooms. And so we do sometimes need to encourage that from the outside. But God's best plan is to work from the inside out in your life. Now, motivation is connected to vision. Right? Motivation is connected to vision. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, there is the people perish. There's no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. If you have no vision for your life, you become static. You actually can't be bothered to do very much. You're not motivated to do the basic things in life. And basically life just becomes boring. And vision actually stops you from living a futile life. And vision is extremely motivated. Without vision, you won't pray. If you don't believe that God is going to bring heaven on earth through your prayers, you don't have a vision for prayer, do you? Without vision, you won't worship. You'll just sing a few songs. But you won't know that God is intending in worship and praise for you to meet with him, to encounter him. You'll have no vision other than listening to a band playing songs and singing. And do I like this one or do I like that one? God wants us to have a vision for every area of our life. We won't serve God without vision. I believe the moment I don't have vision on this earth will be the moment I go to glory. So right up to the time I leave this tent, this body, I'm going to be a visionary. Amen. Oh, happy day. There's always something that God wants us to aim for, to see, and to go for. Because without it, we throw off all restraint and we live for all the things the world lives for. You don't need God in your life to do everything the world does. But you do need God in your life for a heavenly vision. A vision of God's kingdom happening in your life, your circumstances, and in your world. And so you and I need vision for every aspect of life, particularly if there are things going wrong. If there are relationships that are failing, you need a heavenly vision. If there is business trouble, you need a heavenly vision. You need something from God to show you something that God is going to bring about. But you're going to be motivated to go for what God is saying. God has given us a vision in this church. We had it when we began the church, when there were two of us praying. And that vision, I mean, it was extraordinary because we could see no sign of it. And that's often the case with vision. Sometimes when you have vision, you can see no sign of what you're seeing from God. And God spoke to us from Ezekiel and said, I'm going to raise up from this place an exceedingly great army. And we looked at each other and we said, this isn't an exceedingly great army. But God has a vision. Now I can look around, and this morning we're pretty full up this side, but you know, we've got all these spare seats and we've got 100 more we can fit in this room. And that's only the first phase of the army. And so when I look out, and by the way, there are many times when I look out and I'm not encouraged. And that's the difference between having an earthly vision, because very often it won't encourage you, and a heavenly vision, which will highly motivate you to see what God has promised fulfilled. And so your motivation is connected to having vision. Vision, God-given vision for you, your life. Your life matters. Your life counts. Your life was worth saving. Jesus died to save you. And God wants you highly motivated. He wants you enthusiastic about the things that He has planned to work effectively through your life. And so Paul, he gives us this amazing key to be living motivated. It's God. God did it. God made me motivated to prepare, to give my life for this ministry, for you, to actually serve the Lord and serve you. He motivates me to come out every Sunday to be here and minister. But he also motivates me when you're not there to pray. Because he gives me vision for prayer. Now, all the guys who were highly motivated in Scripture were able to do a lot of things for God because they allowed God to motivate them. Paul went through immense challenges. He was beaten, rejected, shipwrecked however many times, left for dead. I don't know if you and I would have the same kind of motivation to get up and carry on after all that lot. But it wasn't self-motivated. God picked him up and says, come on, son, let's move on. I've got a plan, and you're my man. And sometimes, you know, we go through very difficult times, but God is the biggest pick-you-up you can ever find on earth. There is no greater pick-me-up than Jesus and his resurrection power on the inside of you. If you need picking up this morning, God is your pick-me-up. Amen. It doesn't matter what happens, God is able to raise you up, breathe his life into you, and get you walking straight and strong again. So Paul endured the challenges. What about Jesus? I mean, of course, he is the greatest perfect example. In Hebrews, it speaks to us about Jesus. Consider him. When you need motivation, consider Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. Jesus didn't see just the cross. He knew he would have to suffer, but he saw through the cross to the joy. What was the joy? You and me. He saw that many, millions, multitudes would be saved from hell, from destruction. And you don't want to go to hell. And you don't want anyone to go to hell. Jesus spoke about hell. It's a place of torment. It motivated him to rescue you. God himself is motivated to save people from destruction. And he saw, if I do this, Father, if I give my life, if I pay the price on the cross, then I will see the desire of my heart that many will be saved, that many will be with us forever in glory. And so for the joy set before, now, you see, the Christian life, it is a life of total blessing. But to tell you the truth, it's a life of total sacrifice. And Jesus himself said, no one can be my disciple unless they deny themselves, take up their cross, their cross, their cross, repeat, their cross, and follow me. No one, not one of us can be a disciple of Jesus unless you or I deny ourselves. But you know what? Jesus, when he went to the cross, there was joy because he was willing to deny himself. And Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Find the better life. Find the abundant life. Find the life of God. Be totally overwhelmed by the power and the glory of God in their lives because they are willing to deny their own flesh, deny what they want, deny the things that people do but you won't do. And Jesus said, it's for the joy set before you that you have to endure your own cross. Understand, beloved, that there is no real Christianity without a cross. Jesus is the only one who paid for our sin. He's the only one who died for us to be reconciled to God. and to be healthy in this life. He died for our sicknesses. All the curse of Satan was broken. We are not subject to Satan. That's not your cross. You're not subject to sin. That's not your cross. Jesus died for that. You're not subject to sickness. Jesus paid for it. You are free because Jesus set you free. But don't use your freedom to please yourself. Take up whatever is needed. And it's different for all of us. Because it's your cross, not mine. And it's my cross, not yours. But there has to be a cross, a sacrifice in your life. You maybe are here today, have left your family, have left where everybody else goes because you know you're called to be here. You maybe have left boyfriends and girlfriends who aren't Christians because you said, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross and follow Jesus. I'm going to do the right thing because the best thing lies ahead for me. God has the best plan for my life and the rest of it isn't worth following. So we lose our lives to find it. And Jesus says, whenever you go through a tough time, in Hebrews 12:2, consider him who endured such suffering. And it isn't anything in comparison to what you and I suffer for Jesus. And actually, it really helps me when I go through a difficult time. I consider Jesus. I consider the cross. The other day, another day off, surprisingly, I was sitting on a bench, Bude, and the little estuary there. I had a barbecue on the beach, it was fun. And I'm sitting there, the ducks are quacking and the kids are playing and I'm just going, how nice to have a rest. Have you ever done that? This is good. Just restore my soul, Lord. And as I'm sitting there, and I rarely have an open vision. And right on the grass verge before the water, I saw the cross with Jesus on it. And in that vision, I was looking around at everybody. Jesus, you died for me, but you died for them and they don't know it. You died for them. And I tell you, it was motivational. I was praying for them. I was like, Lord, this is what you did. Motivated to die. And I believe that God works in us to be motivated to die. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. How many of you want to be fruitful for Jesus? Well, you've got to die. You've got to die to you, your own plans, and say, Lord, raise me, motivate me, lead me, because I'm going for the best life possible. Amen. The grain of wheat, when it dies, it bears much fruit. Daniel was another motivated guy. He didn't have much encouragement around him because he was in a culture like most of you. You work in the world. And you're salt and light in your world, in your working place. And Daniel didn't kind of work with Christians all the time. He worked with non-Christians and people who mocked and probably despised his faith. But he kept faithful to his God. And one day he's reading through Jeremiah and something of the word hit his heart. And it was a promise from Scripture that God himself was going to bring his own people back to their land. And that motivated Daniel to pray, Lord, now's the time. Let this promise happen. If you ever need motivation to pray, read the promises and you'll start praying. Lord, let this be a reality in my life. Pray the promises for your children, for your grandchildren. Pray the promises of God for your life, for your church. That is motivation. The word is motivational because it carries divine life. Amen. May the Lord work in us today a desire for the things that he wants to do. Nehemiah, he was motivated. He heard about the problems of other people. I was talking to somebody in one of our projects, And she was telling me about a child that is totally rejected. And she said, I'd want to adopt them. She's not actually in the phase of life where you start doing that. But she was moved like Nehemiah with the problems of people. And Nehemiah was moved with compassion when he heard about people's problem. It was motivational to him to pray. May God give us that tender heart where we are motivated with the needs and the troubles of others. Others, say others. That is our mission field. Others are your mission field. Others. And Nehemiah started to pray. And whilst he was praying, God worked in him. And I want to tell you that's one of the secrets to being motivational, to being motivated by God, is God, when you pray, starts to work something on the inside of you. And God worked in him to leave his privileged position. He'd never built a wall in his life. He was cupbearer to the king. He wasn't skilled. It wasn't his skill set. It was his heart. And I want to tell you, if you've got a heart, it doesn't matter about your skill set. God's going to use you. If you've got a heart to reach people for Jesus, God is going to use you. Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he looked at them with compassion. He was moved to do something about it. So then he said, praise that the Lord will send out laborers. In other words, get God moving in the hearts of his people to move. And I pray that this morning. Lord, move in the hearts of your people, us here today, to get us to move. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. And so we need to be motivated by other people's issues, problems, traumas, crisis, what the enemy's doing in their life, their sickness. You need to be motivated by the lost, that they know nothing about God. The people around you, they've probably never heard the good news of Jesus. And maybe you're right where you are, and it's time you should be praying to say, Lord, work through me. I want to be a witness. I want to be able to give the gospel where I am. Highly motivated to move out beyond our comfort zones. Peter was motivated. I mean, he was just a basic fisherman, a normal job until he met Jesus. I tell you, you're going to be a basic person until you meet Jesus. But when you meet Jesus, you shouldn't be basic. You should be extraordinary. He heard Jesus say, come follow. Now, I love that. Jesus' call on our lives is motivational. If you've said yes, keep following. That's a word for somebody here today. Don't look back and don't be the kind of Christian that just sits down. Step it up and say, Jesus, I've said I'm going to follow, I'm going to follow you. But Peter, he was motivated when he saw Jesus walk on water. And sometimes I think you and I can read the scriptures with a blank kind of haze on our spiritual eyes. Jesus walked on water. Peter saw him and said, I want to do that. God wants people who read the gospel, who read what Jesus did, saying, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. The life of Jesus, the way. Jesus said the same works as me you will do, and greater works. So when you read the gospel, don't go, oh, he did that. Look at it and say, yes, he did that, but he did it so that I might do it. And he's put his spirit in me so that I can do it. But I'm going to be motivated to go for it. To get out of my boat on the water. Because you're going to have to be motivated to get out of your little comfy spot. If you're not motivated to pray and lay hands on the sick, then nobody will ever get healed through your life. You've got to step out the boat. Put your hands on somebody. And heal them in Jesus' name. But when you read the Gospels, put yourself there as someone who is going to say to Jesus, Lord, I want to do that. If I'm ever in a situation, Lord, where there isn't any food, I want to thank you that the little bit I have is going to feed 5,000. I have seen people raised from the dead. I've seen people out of wheelchairs. But I haven't yet seen all the people that are going to be raised from the dead, out of wheelchairs. Miracles happen through life. And neither have you. But you've got to stay motivated by seeing what Jesus does in Scripture, which is the mandate for every believer. Don't switch off. Please, stay motivated. The church, the early church, Peter got up after the Spirit came. He got filled with the Spirit and he preached. 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people. Think about it. And the Spirit, they were all filled with the Spirit. And they were highly motivated. Salvation and being filled with the Spirit was enough to make them highly motivated. God didn't have to do anything than what he'd already done to motivate them. Die for them, give them new life, and fill them with his Spirit. Is it enough to stay motivated because he saved you and filled you with his Spirit? Is that enough reason to stay motivated? Think about it, guys. It's a question for you. Will you live motivated like the early church? Devoted. They started to live in a new way of life once they got saved. They were motivated to meet together. If you're dragging your heels to be in church, something's wrong with you. Hello? God isn't the problem, and neither are we, because none of us are perfect. You're the problem if you're not motivated. And you need to come back to a fresh understanding of what it means to be saved and filled with the Spirit. How amazing it is what Jesus has done for you. And when you start to consider what it cost him to save you and give you himself, then you're like, I'll live motivated. I'll stir up what I believe and actually say, Lord, I'm going to be devoted to you, to your church, to prayer, to fellowship, to meeting together, because that is the work of God through you. He'll work effectively in you and he'll work through you. The Christian life, I was thinking about this, it's a bit like a car. You don't get a car to just sit on your drive, parked. And I, you know, as I look out there, there's lots of parked cars on the side of the road. And I think of how many Christians are parked. Unmotivated, just become believers and parked, static. Because actually cars are meant to get you somewhere. And God's put his Spirit in you to get you somewhere. To motivate you to be like Jesus and do like Jesus. And fulfill the plans he's got for you. And I believe that we need constant movement in our lives. We need input in our lives. But many parked cars, many people who live their lives in Christian terminology, or I'm just speaking about their Christian faith, they live parked because of all the worries of this life. The deceitfulness of riches. I want to tell you that being rich can be the most deceitful goal of your life. It's a lying goal. because it'll take you off track. God, it doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless you, but your goal to be rich is an issue that will affect your God motivation. You can't be motivated for God and for money. You either have to serve one. And there's only one that deserves that number one place in our hearts. The other thing that can actually get us losing our motivation, this is all from the parable of the sower, when Jesus said, actually, desire for other things come in. You might have been a Christian for ages, but maybe your desire for time in bed is more important than your desire for prayer. Your desire to be with your family is more important than following Jesus. Now, God wants us to have the right time with our families, but our families are not God. Jesus is Lord. And we've decided to follow him. But in the following, he will add the best family life possible. He will give the best life possible. But it's God is number one, and desire for other things can creep in. Shopping. I kind of just had this insight into somebody's world the other day. They spend all hours watching TV, the shopping channel. The shopping channel. They just watch the shopping channel. And they can't go anywhere without an iPad. And so they're totally devoted to iPads, shopping, and that's their vision. And they're constant, I mean, I have to say that, bless them. They're not living for what they've been created for. And it's a trap. Imagine, you know, going to heaven and said, I spent my life on the shopping channel. How utterly ridiculous. But that's what the enemy does. He comes in and brings desire for other things. You want this. And I want to tell you that the enemy, he never shows you the pig pen. He'll show you the hotel suite. Like the prodigal. He'll show you what's attractive. It all looks good, but it'll end in a pig pen. Ah. And so desire for other things will lead you off track and get you into trouble. Now, how do I stay motivated? How do people of God stay motivated? And I was thinking about this, so I'm going to help you. I need to help you to not just know what motivation comes from, vision, how God gives and speaks his word and prayer and promises, but how do you and I stay motivated? Back to the car. A car needs fuel to move. Because you use fuel to move, don't you? You use power. You use that petrol or diesel to get going. And I believe God wants all of us to have consistent super fuel. And God himself supplies super fuel to you as a Christian that will empower you to be motivated. Work in you. And where does our super fuel come from? Well, I've already mentioned what I do every day, and I can only keep saying, and I will say it till the day I go to glory. Daily, you and I need time with God. God is the greatest encourager of your life. Why wouldn't you want to be with him? Why wouldn't you want to receive? It's like taking a drink. You need a drink every day. You need, not that kind. You need water every day. You need to drink water every day. And you need a drink, a super drink from God every day. And it comes from his presence. It comes from worship when you're on your own as well as meeting together. It comes from his word and prayer. If you need motivation, they're the things that you need to first look at. Like filling your car up, start to fill your life up with a word and prayer. Just let that injection of God life come into you. The second thing that really encourages me, and I believe is supposed to encourage all of us, is God's people. I look out here this morning, and I'm encouraged you're here. It's a nice thing to say. Are you encouraged I'm here? That's the question. I'm encouraged I'm here, and you're here. God's people encourage me. Praying with a believer encourages me. Sometimes somebody will come along with a little word of encouragement. Sometimes it's just that little thing that they say that spurs me on to say, keep going. Yeah. I love watching Wimbledon. But have you ever seen Andy Murray's team? It's really been on my mind recently about how we should be as a church team with one another. When somebody's on, playing, we should be at the sidelines going, yes! I mean, every time the guy hits a shot, a winning shot, his team are up, shouting. And don't you need a few on your bench like that? And don't the people around you, sitting around you in church, need you to be like that? Off your little derriere and shouting, come on, we can. Yeah. It's possible to see what God said happen. Yeah. We need to encourage. That is super fuel. Yeah. The encouragement of God's people. The encouragement of meeting together. Yeah. I trust you're being encouraged this morning. Yeah. Encouraged with what God has given you to actually move with God. I'm encouraged by people. I'm encouraged by Cy and Gemma this week in hospital going through a huge test, a massive test. High dependency unit, just after giving birth to a child. This was a test. Before she went in for the operation, they sat together and prayed Psalm 91. I'm encouraged that their faith has grown stronger in a trial. No trial, no testimony. But if you go through difficult times, applying what you know about God, then you will have a story out of it. And your faith will encourage everybody around you. You don't even know it's encouraging you. They don't even know you're being encouraged. But I'm shouting from the sidelines at that couple. They've done great. They've done great. I'm Andy Murray's team. I'm on the sidelines going, go! When I see people launch out in whatever God's told them to do and I get that witness that yes and amen, it's God, I get on the sidelines and say, come on! Some of you have started businesses or are in the business world, you will hear me say, keep going if you need encouragement. Go for it. Keep moving forward. And don't we need the body of Christ? We need all of us to be like Andy Murray's team. But actually, what we're cheering for is for the work of God in and through one another, which is of far greater importance than Wimbledon Championship. We're playing for the champion of champions. Amen. And we need to see that champion on the inside of each one of us winning. And you will always need people. It's like when people come out of church, it's like the old saying, the coal in the fire, taken out of the fire, gets cold. And you need church to stay hot and on fire for Jesus. You don't need isolation. You need integration. Amen. So don't be like that coal, just outside, but be in on the middle of what God is doing. I'm encouraged when I go through times where I can't see. Have you ever been through a time like that? Dark times. Times where, Lord, I just feel everything just seems to be closing in. Have you ever felt like that? I get the light out. I turn on the light, which is His Word. The entrance of His Word brings light. If I need light in a dark place, I get the Word of God. And the promises shine bright and bright and bright, and all the shadows flee. The Word is designed to get rid of shadows and darkness. And so I take the promises. I write them down. I remember them. I speak them. I pray them. I take the prophecies made concerning my life or us as a church. And many of you have prophecies. You need to pull them out, get them back into your heart, into your mouth, into your mind, and say, Lord, You said this. I believe this was from You. And I'm going to run with that motivation that comes through knowing that You said it, You're faithful, and You will do it. Finally, hooray. Are you okay with this? Finally, keep giving your story. Keep telling people your story about becoming a Christian. Paul always kept the story as part of his word, his message to people. And it does you good when you start to say what you were and what you are now and what God has done in your life, doesn't it? And it does people a whole lot of good when they hear your story. I also never allow myself to get comfortable. So in other words, I'll say to myself, I haven't seen anybody healed this week. I'll say, I need to see more finances come into the church for mission. I'm constantly living with challenge. And if you get too comfortable with your Christian life, you're actually not motivated. You're parked. And being pushed out of your little nest is something that God loves to do. He motivates you to go out beyond what you're in and into the supernatural power and dependency on the Holy Spirit. Motivation. May God this morning give you clarity about where you are. If you're parked, move you. If you need super fuel, get it. Get fueled up. But if you need to actually step beyond your comfort zone, say, Lord, I give myself to You. I want to go out on the water and see miraculous power. I don't want to be a comfortable, parked Christian. Holy Spirit motivation. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.